There's further evidence this morning that shoppers are not shopping like they used to. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. After U.S. retail sales fell off a cliff in December, there are fresh numbers today for January. Economist Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. We learned today that retail sales in January went up 0.2%. Julia, however,
the astonishingly weak December looks even weaker than the prior estimate. So we got a sort of record-breaking 2.3% monthly decline in December retail sales.
All right. So we could make deep macroeconomic conclusions about caution signs for the U.S. economy. On the other hand, any chance, government shutdown, any chance there's some noise in this data?
There's always noise in the data, particularly at this time of year. And then in addition to all of that, the retail sector has been significantly disrupted by online shopping in recent years. All of that makes it hard to seasonally adjust data and get the real signal.
Some of the shopping happened in October, right?
Yes. The whole Black Friday pattern of shopping is almost completely gone from the data. With online shopping and promotions coming early, we see holiday sales really get underway in October. And then by December, people are kind of done.
All right. Julia Coronado, an economist and founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Now, you say you have Levi's, but do you have Levi's stock? It'll be sold to the public for the first time. And today, they set the price of 37 million Levi Strauss shares. Think something around $15 each, that range. Multiple published reports today indicate President Trump's 2020 budget proposal due today will ask for $8.6 billion for a wall at the southern border. This is something the House of Representatives, controlled by Democrats, is unlikely to go for. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more on what else to expect from the budget proposal today.
This will be President Trump's third budget proposal, and there have been some leaks, so budget experts have an idea of what might be in it. Sharon Parrott is with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
We expect that the president's budget will include sharp cuts in a range of domestic or non-defense investments.
Congress doesn't have to do anything with the White House proposal, but Parrott says
it can really signal what the president will try to achieve through other means, particularly through executive actions.
So the budget proposal is more of a messaging document, which is why Brian Riedel of the Manhattan Institute expects some fanciful assumptions.
It will assume the tax cuts get extended, domestic discretionary spending is cut deeply, and Obamacare is repealed. It will be completely ignored by Congress.
In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
President Trump has been consistently critical of Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, suggesting if things go wrong in the U.S. economy, it'll be the Fed's fault. On CBS 60 Minutes last night, Powell said the president's criticism played no role in his team's becoming less inclined to raise interest rates recently. Can the president fire him? Powell said the law is clear. He has a 4-year term and he fully intends to serve it. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support. There's economic data showing it is not a waste of time when we're down in the basement or out in the garage, tools in hand, be it wrenches, soldering irons, or scissors. I'm told the first batch of Spanx were put together in a basement. The garage at 2066 Chris Drive in Los Altos, California, is where Wozniak and Jobs did the first Apple computers. Tinkering really adds up for the U.S. economy. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been reading the analysis.
All those households, all those people that, they have a problem. Something isn't working right in their house, and they come up with this solution. What if we did this? And then a neighbor says, hey, how'd you do that? And so there's all this household innovation that goes on, David, and it's not captured in the national statistics when we talk about R&D, for example, research and development. And so these two economists, said, well, what is the value of all this tinkering that's going on in garages, in basements? And I frankly think it's a stunning number.
Well, how big is the number?
So the rough estimate, and they're looking at 1 year, and they're only looking at products, household product R&D, added up to $41 billion in 2017. So let's put that figure in context. That's half of what commercial producers spend on R&D to develop new products for consumers. And by the way, these scholars are pretty persuasive that their figure, it's conservative.
And some of this grassroots innovation comes up with really important stuff, not like the knuckleheaded things I make in my basement.
I mean, I'm sure you come up with some pretty creative stuff, but let's just look at some of the examples they gave by individuals. And individuals account for a large part of this activity. And this one I really like. So a colorblind person, he created an iPhone camera app that identifies colors of objects in a scene and codes them for easy recognition. Now, that's tinkering. Another example that they give, and I think this is really important, is about collaborations and people working together. So if you think about skateboarding, whitewater kayaking, mountain biking, as well as a lot of the novel equipment that went into that, in the early years, you know, that was just people going out there and saying, hey, what do you think about if we move the sprockets like this? You think we can go downhill a little bit faster? Yeah, let's try that. Of course, now we capture those industries in the national numbers because they're multi-billion-dollar industries, but they came out of this household R&D, and we do not capture that in the national statistics.
I got two patent lawyers in the immediate family, and how many useful innovations have I come up with? Zilch, but I appreciate good old American innovation that's happening. Chris Farrell is Marketplace's senior economics contributor. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Yeah, New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report, and this is from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.